Good morning, Stavanger Church. On this bitterly cold fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, thank you for coming out and venturing out into this this cold weather to be with us this morning. Starting off with some announcements, we have got a Bible study Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We've also got the virtual Shady Oak Bible study on Wednesday night. Are there any other announcements that should be made at this time? All right, then I'd like to invite Pastor John up to talk about the Giving Hearts Day.
Yes, you'll see on the cover of your bulletin at the top there, an announcement about Giving Hearts Day that several organizations are participating in, and Lutheran Brethren Seminary among them. I just want to encourage you that if the Lord's blessed you and you're so inclined to take advantage of that, there's some great matching gift available up to the first $65,000. They're hoping to double that in the pledges received. So you can go on the website or give Lutheran Brethren Seminary a call. They're in the phone book. If you use a phone book instead of typing in a web address, either way, your gifts can be matched. And we have a little video that shares about that. So I'll ask Galen to run that now.
Lutheran Brethren Seminary serves the church and world by preparing servants of Christ to bring the good news of the cross and the empty tomb. This spring, we will graduate 8 students equipped to serve Christ in this mission. One of those graduates desires to be a church planter in North America. 3 others believe God is calling them to international mission. Dan and Claire Rose came to LBS specifically to prepare for ministry in Chad, Africa. Here is their story.
As a young teenager, I sensed God's call to go to Africa as a missionary nurse. After college, I became a registered nurse and pursued a master's degree in international public health. But I had my doubts about raising a family on the mission fields and God's timing of it all.
After coming to the end of my rope, fighting a battle with alcoholism, I dropped to my knees and called out to Jesus in repentance.
That's when God changed the course of our lives. We had been attending Hillside Lutheran Brethren Church in Succasunda, New Jersey, for about 3 weeks when Nathaniel and Carrie Zabodi visited from Africa. At the time, they had a child less than a year old. It made me feel that raising kids on the mission field was possible.
Shortly after that, we moved to Fergus Falls to study at Lutheran Brethren Seminary.
Seminary has helped me to examine who I am as a fallen human at the feet of a holy God. At seminary, we are faced with God's call to the nations. We are trained to go out into the world and share the message of Jesus with those who don't know him.
That's what we are learning here at LBS, to be obedient in faith and to share the message of Christ with our neighbors and the nations.
February 11th is Giving Hearts Day, and we have a goal to raise $130,000 for Lutheran Brethren Seminary. Already, we have had a number of generous donors step up and offer to match the first $65,000 received. Lutheran Brethren Seminary is vital to the future of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren, and I believe we would cease to be without our seminary. All the implanting of our DNA, our theology and mission, what makes the Church of the Lutheran Brethren unique, is passed on by our seminary. Please consider a gift anytime between now and midnight on February 11th. Your gift will help train Christian leaders to be rooted in the Word of God and to take that life-changing, eternity-changing word to their neighbors near and far.
So you have some options if you want to participate. You can even, if you would like, put offering in the plate today. And on, if you have a check on the memo line, just put Giving Hearts Day LBS for Lutheran Brethren Seminary. And we'll make sure it gets there. And like you said, to get the matching gift opportunity here, the gifts need to be received by the seminary by the 11th. And I think that's this Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, so just encourage you to do that. So we're Stavanger, of course, is not a member of the Lutheran Brethren Church in America, but your pastors are. So you do have a direct connection to the seminary, and Stavanger has given over the years. So just wanted to highlight that as an opportunity, and let you know that throughout the year, our plan, kind of following up on some discussion we had at our annual meeting about giving to local ministries in addition to our mission giving for international missions. So on the fifth Sunday of each on each fifth Sunday for the rest of the year, let's put it that way, we plan to highlight a local ministry and give people the opportunity to support that and just to strengthen those partnerships with groups like Salvation Army and the Food Shelf and other local ministries as a way that Stavanger can increase and grow in its support of those partner ministries. So, yes. You can make the check out to Stavanger if you want to put it in the plate and then just put a thing on the memo for Giving Hearts Day. Thank you. Very good. All right. Pastor Eric.
Our call to worship as we begin our service this morning is Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Now let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together to worship you. We ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you and to your holy word. Lord, we thank you for your fatherly love and your patience toward us. We ask that that same love would be visible in us, caring for and supporting one another and all of those in need. We pray for those who are suffering, those who have suffered loss, those who are alone, those who are unable to be with us today. We ask that you would comfort and encourage those who have been isolated because of COVID, and those who find themselves feeling depressed, anxious, and lonely in the face of this pandemic. We pray for all of the leaders around the world, that you would give them your wisdom and discernment. We thank you for the gift of your church, that you have provided a place for us to hear your word, confess our sins, receive absolution, and sing praises to you. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. We ask that our ears would be opened this morning to receive your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God with our first hymn, Wonderful Words of Life. Let us continue worshiping with our second hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. May be seated. It is Communion Sunday this week, so following the sermon, we will share in the communion meal together. Now I'd like to invite Pastor John up to deliver the service or the sermon this morning.
I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's Word. The passage this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Mark 1, 29 through 39. Read in Jesus' name. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, We pray that you would open our ears to hear your word, that we might know why you've come. We ask this, Lord, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in our sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, those who were listening last week, Pastor Caleb preached on this, the previous passage where Jesus was in the synagogue at the town of Capernaum, kind of his hometown for ministry, not his boyhood hometown of Nazareth, but kind of his base of operations for his ministry in Capernaum. And he was in the synagogue, and while he was there, taught with authority, amazed the people, and further amazed them when he cast a demon out of one of those in attendance at worship that day. Already, Jesus' authority, his power, and his message are beginning to make news in the area. And his disciples are just beginning to learn who he is. And so when they came to the house of Simon and Andrew, it was the custom on the Sabbath day to have a big meal right after the synagogue service. So likely they were going over to Simon's place to eat. As a matter of fact, you can go to the ancient town of Capernaum even today, and the ruins of a synagogue are there. You can see them. I've actually seen them myself. And nearby is a remains of a home which traditionally is attributed to be Simon Peter's house, and you can see that as well, not far from the synagogue. And so when they got there, this curious little phrase in verse 30 comes up. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. In their day, it was common when a couple would get married, the young couple would live with the parents of the groom, of the husband. And so it's supposed here that since it's not Peter's mother but his mother-in-law, that perhaps his father-in-law had passed away and they had taken in his elderly mother-in-law to care for her, and here she's sick. And she, it says she has a fever. When we hear the word fever, we think, well, that's not good, she's sick. But when we get a fever, we think, okay, well, it's not too bad. Take some Tylenol or ibuprofen, take the edge off the fever. If it's bad enough, maybe run into the clinic and probably get some antibiotics prescribed and go home and take it easy for a few days and you're generally better. They didn't have ibuprofen or Tylenol or even more so antibiotics. If you had a fever, it could very likely be a fatal condition. And so they told Jesus about her. And he simply takes her hand, helps her up. And to make the point that she was better, all of a sudden she's putting on a little lunch for him. Word gets out. And because it's the Sabbath day, you're not allowed to carry things, even people who are sick, who need help. And so it's not till after sundown when the Sabbath day ends that all of a sudden at the door of the house is a crowd of sick people, demon-possessed. The word about Jesus had gotten out, and everyone was telling Jesus their woes, asking him to help, and he did. It says he healed many who had various diseases and drove out many demons. And interestingly, he won't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The demons living in the heavenly realms from the beginning, they would recognize Jesus because we read elsewhere in the scriptures that he was with God in the beginning. He came from his throne in heaven, the place where he was recognized by the angels, both those who served the Lord and those who rebelled and followed the chief rebellious angel, Satan himself. They all knew who he was. But unlike the angels who remained obedient, these demons did not love Jesus, did not trust him, and had no interest in his coming kingdom because it spelled the end. It spelled the end of their influence. And as such, Jesus did not let them speak. He did not need the testimony of demons. But he set people free from their oppression. You see, the oppression of demons, the infliction of disease upon people, their reminders, they were evidence, they were examples of the reason why Jesus came, to set people free. Simon's mother-in-law's healing was a good thing. It was a good thing the people told Jesus about Simon and his brother and James and John. It was a good thing they told Jesus about Simon's sick mother-in-law. It was a good thing that Jesus healed her. But that healing of a physical disease, that didn't stop her from later on dying. All these people that Jesus healed and set free from demons, they still were under the curse of sin, and as such would die one day eventually. And that's why Jesus did not allow the disciples telling him, everyone's looking for you, to turn him from his ultimate mission, was to proclaim the kingdom of God, the once and for all end to the things that afflict us in this life. We all want a quick fix. I'm no different. When I have a pain in the back, I see Dr. Zach. He could use that for marketing, I think. I want the quick fix. Fix me up. I don't want to do exercises. I don't want to change my behaviors. If it hurts enough, I will. We all want quick fix. And Jesus is not averse to giving us relief from the things that hurt us now. He shows mercy, but these are only foreshadows of what the greater ministry he came to do. Namely, to take on the cause of our sickness, sin itself. Sin enslaves us. It enslaves us physically, it enslaves us spiritually and emotionally. And it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's why he came, to set us free, ultimately free. Free now from the fear of death, from the fear of sin, and free for eternity. It's okay to tell Jesus about what ails us and ask him for help for now. But this passage isn't about just us telling Jesus. It's about Jesus telling us. It's about Jesus telling sickness and demons where to go when they afflict his sheep, his children. It's about Jesus telling his followers why he came. Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. He came to preach the good news that he was the one that the prophet Isaiah was speaking of when in chapter 53 he says, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He took them upon himself. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus would not let his disciples or the crowd telling him what he needed to do. He would not let that dissuade him from doing what he knew he needed to do. He needed to go to Jerusalem. He needed to be arrested. He needed to be falsely accused. He needed to be nailed to a cross and die, having lived the perfect life and thereby providing the perfect sacrifice and cure for our sin, for our sin sickness. And there's a hint of good news in here beyond all this. It said very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up and went out to pray that day after all those healings. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. Later on in Mark, there's another day when some of his followers got up early before sunrise and went looking for Jesus. And unlike Simon and the others, these followers at the later time didn't find Jesus because the tomb was empty, proving that his sacrifice for our infirmities, for yours and for mine, was accepted by God. He rose again from the dead. And that's why Jesus had to go preach. He had to go preach that the Son of Man must suffer, be crucified, and after 3 days rise again. It's Jesus telling us who he is, and that he's come for each of you and me. And Jesus still comes and still heals and sets us free from our sin. He comes to you right today, right here in his supper. When you hear the words given for you and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus is telling you why he came, for whom he came. He came for you and me. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Today we are receiving Holy Communion. I would like to draw your attention to your bulletin insert. Holy Communion is intended for those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, who trust in him as their Savior and Lord, and confess and repent of their sins, have been instructed in the meaning and proper reception of this sacrament. Our practice at Stavanger is to offer Holy Communion to believers who have completed confirmation instruction or its equivalent. Children who have not been confirmed will receive a blessing. Now let us come to the Lord with a confession of our sins. I invite you to follow along on the screen or in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, in true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess the Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, which is printed in your bulletin insert. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation of the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we share the one loaf.
Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now given to you his holy and precious body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all of your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Please stand and let us give thanks to God for his grace to us. Lord, grant by your word, with the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we have received your body and blood, we may be assured once again of the forgiveness of all our sins
and be strengthened by your presence. Father, we humbly receive the benefits of this sacrament and offer you our spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now join with me as we sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Now hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.